You know, that's what we really, all of us want in our lives. We want to feel at peace. We want to feel at peace and have a sense of ease at our places of work and in our homes and as we move out and about in the world in our daily activities. And we want to have peace everywhere that we go. And one of the things that keeps us from experiencing peace is when we take things personally. You know, when someone says something or doesn't say something or does something or doesn't do something, and then we take it as a personal slight, like it's against us, and we get offended and we get upset. So who in this room ever takes things personally? Exactly. You know, your coworker comes in the morning and doesn't speak to you, and therefore you think that you must have done something wrong, or they must be mad at you, or but something's up, they don't like you anymore, or your boss has been asking you to fix something and you finally fix it, or your wife has been bugging you to do something and you finally do it, and then there's no acknowledgement at all for what was done, and you take it personally. I know recently my dog, I was sitting on the couch with my dog and kissed him on the top of the head, and he jumped off the couch and looked behind him. He was scared and his tail was down. I tell you, for like 2 days, he didn't want to have anything to do with me. Oh my gosh, I took it so personally. My dog doesn't like me anymore. How could your dog not like you, you know? It's crazy, but we do that. And so close your eyes for just a second. I have a question to ask you. So how would your life be different if you didn't take anything personally? How would your life, how would you and your life be different if you didn't take anything personally? Go ahead and open your eyes. Did you get an answer?
Calmer.
What else?
Happier.
What else? You'd have more certainty. Less anxiety. I know we did that in class this week. We asked that question. I know that I would absolutely be more inner-directed and feel like I was on purpose because I wouldn't be worrying about what other people said and how much more fulfilling my life would feel because that's what I was doing. And so we're doing a class right now, Self-Mastery, Emergence of the True Self. And it is based on the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz and the Principles of the Science of Mind or the Teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living. And so we talked about the second agreement in the book, The Four Agreements, this week, which is don't take anything personally. And I know that it's a tall order not to take things personally and that it's easier said than done. But Ruiz says, when we take things personally that other people say and do, we create suffering for ourselves and in turn put ourselves in hell. Do you have that experience of putting yourself in hell when you take that thing personally that somebody did? And so the problem is when we take things personally, we destroy our own sense of peace and well-being. When we take things personally, it weakens our own sense of wholeness and enoughness that we have as we move throughout our lives. It diminishes our self-esteem. It stifles our confidence and our freedom to live authentic lives and to be out there doing what it is that we really want to do. So it stifles our ability then to live our fullest life. And yet, that's the thing that we really want. What we really want is to have that sense of peace and that sense of ease. We want to be free to just be our authentic selves. And so the title of my talk today is The Next Chapter. And what I'm talking about is that there is nothing against us. And that we actually have a choice when someone says something or doesn't say something or does something or doesn't do something. We have a choice about how we will respond and what we will do with that experience. Therefore, we get to write the next chapter that comes after whatever it was that happened. And so the most important of the Buddhist teachings are the Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths say, life is dukkha. In life, there is suffering, dissatisfaction, angst, discomfort, sorrow. That's like the nature of this human life that we're living. The second one is the cause of dukkha is attachment, craving, or desire. Being attached to what we want and pushing away what we don't want. The third is the solution to dukkha is to stop clinging and attaching. And the way is to follow the Eightfold Path. And so the thing that causes us the pain when we take things really is our attachment to having things the way we want them to be and not having them the way we don't want them to be. Do you get that? I know that we want people to speak kindly to us. We want people to treat us with respect. We want people to approve of us and to like us. We want people to see us in a good light. We want people to include us in what it is that they're doing. Because all of those things make us feel good about ourselves. All of those things give us higher or high self-esteem. But do you notice that word self-esteem is self-esteem? Self-esteem is about, did you hear? That was like the angels. Big clue. Self-esteem is about the way we see ourselves, the way we view and hold ourselves. And so if our self-esteem and our well-being and our peace is reliant on what people are doing out there in the world, what they're doing or not saying, we are setting ourselves up for suffering. We're setting ourselves up for that dukkha, for pain, and putting ourselves in hell. So I started this spiritual path many years ago, and the thing that actually brought me to the spiritual path was doing 12-step work in Codependence Anonymous. And at the beginning of every meeting, they read characteristics of a codependent, and the one that always grabbed me was, my good feelings about who I am stemmed from being liked by you. Wow, that is where I got my whole entire sense of self-worth and being valid and being okay was being liked by you. That's not the case anymore because I've been walking this path and doing this work and have such a deeper sense of who I am. And so Ruiz in his book says there are four reasons why we take things personally. One is we agree with what was said. Two, we are afraid that what was said is true. Three, it touches an old wound in us, like someone sticking their finger in a wound. Or four, because we see ourselves at the center of everything and as the center of everything, and therefore we think that it's about us. And so we're going to look at those. That first one, that we agree with what was said, what that means is we already believe that to be the truth about ourselves. We already believe it. That's often from that old wound from our childhood, what someone said or what someone did, and we're still carrying that around with us. We already hold that judgment against ourselves. So when someone says that you are fat or says that you're not very smart or something that hurts your feelings, it's because you already hold that judgment about yourself. And when they say that thing that hurts your feelings, what's really happening is it's like they're taking a spotlight and they're shining it on that self-judgment that you already have about yourself. And so Eleanor Roosevelt says, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Our agreement with what they said is the thing that creates that suffering. Our upset is because we agree with them. And the second one is that we are afraid, fill in the blank, you're afraid that you might be found out. You're afraid that it might really be true, that thing that they said. They said that, and then you think to yourself, maybe I really am stupid. Maybe I really am incompetent. Maybe I really am a coward. Maybe I really am lazy. But again, it's our own judgment that we're holding that's creating the pain that we have. It's as if we're holding this judgment and then we're putting it off on them and acting like it's coming from them to us, but it's really already inside of here, or the fear that that might be true about us. So it's because we already hold it. And so in his book, The Four Agreements, Ruiz says, when we really see other people as they are without taking it personally, we can never be hurt by what they say or do. Here's a really amazing thing. Even if others lie to you, it's okay. They are lying to you because they are afraid. They are afraid that you will discover that they are not perfect. So here we are running around afraid that people are going to find out that we're not perfect, and they're doing the same exact thing, running around thinking that people are going to find out that they're not perfect. Isn't that just amazing? So what happens, it's like when someone says something to us and we take it personally, it's like they've shot an arrow and it's grazed our arm, and oh, it hurts so bad. But then what happens is we start ruminating about what they've said. We keep playing the scenario over and over in our mind and keep thinking about what it was that happened or what we said. It's like we've taken that arrow and we're stabbing ourselves with it over and over again in the stomach. It was only said one time, but we can live it for years, whatever it was that that person said. I've done that. I've held on to things for years and can remember when someone said something that hurt my feelings. And so the last of the four agreements is why, not the last of the four agreements, the last of the four reasons why we take things personally is because we think it's about us. But it's not about us. And that's really the big one to get. You know how, like, when you're dreaming, you are always the central character of everything that's going on in the dream? We do that in our lives. We think everything's about us, and everything that goes on is about us, and everything people say and do to say to us is about us, and it's not about us. Maybe the person that ignored you when they came to work today and didn't say hello to you and didn't even look at you, maybe they're distracted. Maybe they just got a diagnosis. Maybe their cat is homesick and they're worried about it. Maybe they just had a fight with their spouse. That rude person that stepped in front of you at Starbucks and kind of pushed you out of the way, maybe they're having a really bad morning. Maybe they're having a really bad life. The people often that say something, they're coming from a different perspective and a different value system. Sometimes, like the person that told you that you're lazy, maybe that person has this belief system that says, if you don't go to the gym 5 days a week, you're lazy. Or the person that called you a coward, maybe they think that if you're not willing to get into a fist fight, or if you don't dominate your wife, that you're a coward. And that's why they're calling you a coward. But it's their ideas, and it's their belief system, and it doesn't have anything to do with you and your values and your belief system. Maybe that person believes that if you don't dress a certain way or believe a certain thing, then you are going to go to hell and you're not a good person. Or maybe, what about that person that says that you're selfish because you didn't have children? That's their values and their paradigm and their perspective. Or the person that thinks you don't live in the right zip code, therefore you really haven't made it. Or you don't drive the right car, and therefore you're a loser. None of those things are about you. Do you see that? It's all about them. Their perspective, it's their perspective and their values and their story, and it has nothing to do with you. And so I'd like to share a story with you. It's about a man, David Suzuki. He's one of the world's best known campaigners for the environment. He is a respected and regarded citizen in his homeland, Canada. Many people are unaware, however, of his painful memories Suzuki has had since childhood. On December 7, 1941, the Japanese Air Force bombed Pearl Harbor, and so Japan entered the Second World War. People of Japanese descent were immediately suspect in Canada. Within 9 days of the bombing, they were required to register with the authority as, quote, enemy aliens. Their property was confiscated, their bank accounts were frozen, and they were told they'd have to leave their homes. David Suzuki was 5 years old at the time, and his parents were second-generation Canadians of Japanese descent. At the age of five, David, his mother, and his sisters were sent to an internment camp in British Columbia. His father was sent to work on a road gang, rejoining his family in a camp a year later. The conditions were filthy and cramped. Toward the end of the war, the internees were given a choice. The Canadian government would pay for them to move to Japan, or they could remain in Canada on a condition that they would live east of the Rockies. Japanese Canadians were no longer welcome in Suzuki's hometown of Vancouver. David's family chose to remain in Canada, destitute and in poverty. The entire episode left a terrible legacy in David Suzuki's life. Proud to be Canadian, he began to despise his Japanese descent and his Asian appearance. For years, as a teenager, he saved money for an operation to enlarge his eyes and dye his hair. He refused to walk down the street with his parents because he felt ashamed. Even today, Suzuki struggles with the past. He says, "The terrible burden I've had all my life is that I seem to be constantly trying to reaffirm to Canadians that I am a worthwhile human being. It's ridiculous to be 64 years old and still feel that you've got to prove to them that you're not somebody who should be locked up." Do you see how that had nothing to do with him and who he was? It had nothing to do with his values or what he was bringing to the world or what he was doing or who he is as a person. It had nothing to do with him. It's the same way when people judge us or say something that is hurtful to us. It has nothing to do with us. It's their vantage point, their paradigm, their values. Ruiz says, even opinions, this is amazing, even opinions that you have about yourself are not necessarily true. Therefore, you don't need to take whatever you hear in your own mind personally. Wow. I'm going to read it again. That is so amazing. Even the opinions you have about yourself are not necessarily true. Therefore, you don't need to take whatever you hear in your own mind personally. We can recognize that our self-talk are old tapes of old messages that someone gave us that were about their values and their perspective and has nothing to do with you. So the next time you hear yourself in a loop of negative self-talk, you can realize, I don't have to take this personally. It's not even me. Is that, how's that? It's based on someone else's opinion. But you know what something is that does have to do with you? Is knowing that God is for you. And that means that life is for you. And that means that nothing is against you because there's no other power than the presence of God. Knowing that God is for you and life is for you, that means the thing that is tweaking you, the thing that is hurting your feelings, the thing that you don't like and is uncomfortable is still for you. It's like the sand in the pearl. Without that grain of sand, there would be no pearl. It's the thing in your life that's shaking you and stirring you and asking you to wake up to the fact that there's something you need to heal inside of you. There's a perspective or a judgment or an old wound that you're carrying around that wants to be healed. That's what's happening. And so what we can do then when we find ourselves being tweaked is to ask ourselves, what is in this that is for me? What's in this situation, this conversation, this thing that's happening? What's in it that's for me? And you have to get quiet. And you have to ask the question in here, not to your ego self that has itself hurt. The part of ask yourself, what is being called forward from within me by this thing that's happening? Is it to love myself more? To be kinder to myself? What is this calling me to know? Is it calling me to know that I am lovable and whole and good enough and worthwhile regardless of what anybody else thinks? What is this asking me to be? Is it asking me to be more grounded in who I am? To be more grounded in myself? Is it asking me to come from my spirit instead of my ego? Is it asking me to be a beneficial presence, even when that is not what has been given to me, but to be that beneficial presence in response to whatever it was that was given to me? Everything is a part of your spiritual path. Even the person who pushes your buttons, even the situation where you took it personally, even the unkind thing in the slight, it's all a part of your spiritual path. And so I'm going to share another story with you, and it goes like this. How a person reacts to criticism often means the difference between success and failure. Take the case of Ole Bull, the famous Norwegian violinist of the 19th century. His practical father, a chemist, sent him to the University of Christiana to study for the ministry and forbade him to play his violin. He promptly flunked out and, defying his father, devoted all of his time and his energy to the violin. Unfortunately, though he had great ability, his teachers were relatively unskilled, so that by the time he was ready to start his concert tour, he was not prepared. In Italy, a Milan newspaper critic wrote, "He is an untrained musician. If he be a diamond, he is certainly in the rough and unpolished." There were two ways Bull could have reacted to that criticism. He could have let it make him angry, or he could learn from it. Fortunately, he chose the latter. He went to the newspaper office and asked to see the critic. Ole spent the evening with this 70-year-old critic, asked about his faults, and sought the older man's advice on how to correct them. Then he canceled the rest of his tour, returned home, and spent the next 6 months studying under really able teachers. He practiced hours upon hours to overcome his faults. Finally, he returned to his concerts and, when only 26, became the sensation of Europe. So we can use the stuff that comes up in our life to change and to fix and to heal and to grow and to bring something greater forward that's already within us, that's seeking to be born through us. It's all an invitation to heal. It's an invitation to heal the places within you that aren't peaceful. It's an opportunity to heal the places in you where you're not living with absolute freedom. It's an opportunity to heal the things like that answer that came up for you today, what if you took nothing personally? It's an opportunity to move into that as your life. It's an opportunity to live authentically and to be your true self and to live your fullest life. And so you have to remember that what was said or not said, what was done or not done, is not about you, it's about them. It's not about you, but it's for you. So ask your spirit in those moments, what's being asked to come forward within me? What is this inviting forward? And use the events in your life as the sand for the pearl that you're creating. Greater freedom and a deeper sense of your own wholeness, and to be more rooted, deeply rooted in who you really are as a divine being here expressing as a human. And as a result, you'll be moving through your life with a greater sense of confidence and a greater sense of peace a greater sense of who you really are, being more inner-directed, and writing your own next chapter. And so blessings to all of you on this path of awakening to your most magnificent self and to bringing that into the world in a way that blesses you and everyone around you. Blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we just breathe into that space where that presence of the most divine one resides. All around us and here within us is that which was before the beginning of time and that which will be unto the ends of the earth. That one infinite presence of love and of good. That presence of peace and of well-being. That presence of infinite intelligence and life itself. Recognizing that this one is everywhere present in its fullness, in its wholeness, in its allness. That presence is always right where we are. And that it is leading us and it is guiding us into this path of wholeness. Experiencing the truth of our wholeness. It is leading us on this path to experience the truth of our freedom. To create the lives of our choosing. To live out fully. To be our authentic selves. That it is leading us and it is guiding us and it is revealing itself within us as that truth of our own wholeness and our own power and our own creativity and our own anchoredness. For we can never be separate or apart from this one, for we are individuations of it. Everywhere we go, in everything we do, we are right where that presence is. That it fills our hearts and it fills our minds, it fills our bodies, and it goes before us and makes the way open and smooth and plain. That peace is the atmosphere that we walk in. Peace is what we take with us into every moment of our lives. For we are anchored in this one, and in this one, all is well. All of the time. For in this one is all we could ever need. All the wholeness, all the power, all the wisdom, all the love, anything we could ever need is right here. And it is already, the gift has already been made and already been given. It is ours to receive. And so today, by recognizing that it is already here and opening to it, we receive that gift. Every moment, in every day, we remind ourselves that it is right here, that infinite presence, whose good pleasure it is to give us the kingdom. And so we accept and we step out into the world as this magnificent expression of that most divine one. How blessed we are in that, and how blessed this world is as we do that. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I release this prayer into that creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself everywhere we go, and it is unfolding itself right now, simply because it is true, and simply because we have recognized that it is true. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I say, and so it is.